So our text for this morning's meditation comes to us from 1 Timothy, these words, "Who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." That's 1 Timothy 2:4. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is God our Savior who wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to be saved. He wants all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. But why? Why does God want all people to be saved? Well, because God is love, and God loves us. God loves us, that is mankind, that created in His image. I know that does not seem to be a popular idea nowadays. That is, that God is love, and that God loves us. Because ultimately, so it seems, we have less and less and less of an understanding of what love actually is. We therefore don't want God to be what we don't really understand, and that is love. So in simple terms, love is when we put others before ourselves, consider their needs, their wishes, their will before ours, and we do so willingly and wondrously and joyously. No, love is not a relationship of some sort where we're enslaved to someone and must do what they say, but where we so love them that we will do for them what they need to be done. And here, then, we run into two problems. We run into two problems. The first being that if God loves us, as Scripture tells us, and this pastor reminds us, where is it that God is doing all that we need to be done from day to day to day? Where is the sure sign in the everyday that God does, in fact, love us? I mean, if we look around at the world and see what there is to see, the news is nothing but troubling. And the weather, it's troubling. And the economy, troubling. Society, troubling. Our families, they can be troubling. Our parents and children and brothers and sisters, our job, troubling. Our health, troubling. I mean, where is the love? Where is the love of God? Where is the sure sign that God is thinking of us and doing the things that we need to be done for us? Where is it? Well, simply the devil himself in our flesh, which when asked about the love of God, are both quickly to point out any aspect of life which throws that love of God for us, for mankind, into doubt. For the list of what God has done for us and continues to do for us is very, very, very long. You remember it from the small catechism. I believe that God has made me. He's made me and all creatures. That He's given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason, all my senses, and still preserves them. Now, we could stop right there with our list in awe and wonder just at the very fact that God has created us, and He's created us in such a way that we can see, and we can hear, and we can speak, we can think, reason, speculate, we can touch, and taste, and smell. It's all very awesome. The list goes on, the list of all that God does for us out of His love for us. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger. He guards and protects me from all evil. And all this He does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy. Now, hearing this list again, this listing of all that God has done for us and continues to do for us out of His love for us, I think we can quickly arrive at the conclusion that the issue is not that God does not love us, nor that He does not show us that He loves us, but the issue is that We don't recognize and so acknowledge all of the things that God does do for us every single day. That's the problem. Okay, we don't see it. Here we're simply acting like the classic spoiled rich kid we're used to seeing in television shows and movies. That is, the kid born into privilege that most people can only dream of. I mean, when such a character is portrayed on screen, on our televisions or computers, it's easy for us to think, why is that person the way they are? Look at everything that they have. Look at everything that their parents did for them. If I had all that, I certainly would act differently. I would appreciate it all and live in happiness and thankfulness every single day. Well, newsflash, we do have it all. We do have it all. We do have daily all that we need to support this body and life, and we do have it because of the love of God our Savior for us. And what then is our response? Often just like that spoiled rich kid. I don't have anything. Here repentance is in order. And so then the second challenge when it comes to God our Savior showing his love for us and desiring all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, the second challenge is the idea that if God is God and God is love and God in his love wants all people to be saved, why doesn't he just save them? Why doesn't God just save them? I mean, why doesn't God just wave a wand or something and cause all people to be saved? Well, the answer to that question is the same answer to the question, why can't we make our children act perfectly? Doing exactly what they should do every moment of every day, doing only that which we want them to do. I mean, why can't we just cause that to happen? They are, after all, our children. They're made in our image and likeness. But of course we can't do that. Because even though our children are indeed our children created in our image and likeness, they're actually individual human beings. Our children aren't robots nor machines, but individual human beings who have never existed before in the history of the world and never again will exist in the history of the world. In this sense, our children are godlike, as Scripture notes. As also are we. And while God has not waved a wand to save everyone, he has done that by which all can be saved. And that is that he had his Son offer himself as a sacrifice for all mankind so that the flaw in mankind could be overlooked by him and overlooked because it was covered by the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. That flaw is sin, of course. And it is sin that causes us to see only the worst in God and to reject his love for us. And not even acknowledge what God does for us every single day. I mean, we can get upset because a child or grandchild does not take the time to send us a thank you note for a present that we gave to them. And we can even become indignant when we think about that. But how far are each and every one of us behind when it comes to our thank you notes to God? How many do we still owe God? How many hundred? How many thousand? How many tens of thousands? Thanking him for all that he's done for us each and every single day of our lives. You know, it's sin which creates a fog in our minds, a fog in our minds which clouds up our souls and enshrouds our hearts so that we can't even acknowledge the love of God for us. I mean, even rebellious children can do that. They can admit, yes, their parents do love them, but they, on their part, would rather just do their own thing. So let's do that at least. That is, let's admit that God does indeed love us, and he has also done that which is needed to be done to save us through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. But we, in our rebellion, simply want to do our own thing. And maybe in doing our own thing, what we reveal to ourselves and others is that we have our own issue with love. That is, we've tried to love others around us only to have that love slapped back in our face and rejected. And that's horrible. That's truly horrible when that happens. For when we've tried to love another person and have truly loved them only to have our love completely and totally rejected, in our love for the we do not conclude that the problem lies with the person we love, but with us. That somehow we must be unlovable. And that's the reason why our love for someone is rejected. But that's simply not the case. It's not the case. Our love was rejected because the person we loved didn't want it. They simply didn't want it, and perhaps they didn't want it because the only person they loved was themselves, and so had no interest in being loved by anyone else. Now, this whole matrix of ideas concerning love can be brutal, exposing us to the very core of our being. And when that happens and we are hurt and hurt deeply by our attempt to love, we want nothing more to do with love of another human being for us, and with any type of attempt on our part to love someone else. It's just too painful. It's just too painful. And the fact that God is love and that He desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, what do we do with that? Whether we like it or not, what does God, who is love, do but send His Spirit? He sends His Holy Spirit to us, the chief fruit of which is love. That is, the Holy Spirit would, like the Good Samaritan of the parable of Jesus, bind up our hearts so that they can heal, heal by means of the forgiveness of sins enacted against our hearts in the rejection of our love. And in empowering us with love once again, the love of the Spirit to forgive, we then can begin to love again. Not because we suddenly realized that people want to be loved, but that people, well, are people, and the love which we express for them is just like that of God our Savior for us. And that is a love which is completely and totally undeserved. For Christ died for us, not because we deserved His death for us. Christ died for us as the ultimate expression of the love of God for us. That is, God loved us even though we were unlovable. God loved us even though in our sin the only love we wanted expressed was that of self-adulation. God loved us even though we are loath even to attempt to love another person because of the pain and suffering we might experience because of that love. If you've ever watched your child suffer and can do absolutely nothing to alleviate that suffering, and you obviously had no intention of ceasing to love them just so that you would stop suffering, you understand this point. It's the suffering of our Lord and Savior as He wept over Jerusalem for their rejection of their love of their Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father. So any issues we have having to do with the love of God, ultimately they are our issues, aren't they? So let's repent of a lack of willingness even to try to love and pray to the Holy Spirit that He would strengthen us with His love so that we can daily, like our Savior Jesus, love those around us who are unlovable. We do that. We love them by beginning to provide for them all that they need to support this body and life out of our goodness and mercy. And in so doing then, maybe then they will begin to see the love of God which is real and true and expressed every single day for us and through Christ every day expressed in us. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing.